is the Great Shalom Broadcast, proclaiming that God wants total well-being for all children. A call to arms, general quarters. This is not a drill, battle stations. This is the word for the hour. You don't have to be told that it's difficult, dangerous, terrible times. We're working from 2 Timothy, the third chapter. Mark this, it's translated in the New International Version. There will be terrible times in the last days. And we are working through that delineation of the terrible, difficult, and dangerous times. We've already discussed where we're going here in verse 14. Well, we could start in 13. While evil men and imposters will go from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived, but as for you, continue in what you have learned and become convinced of, because you know those from whom you learned it and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. In these days, in these difficult days, the enemy's battle plan is to snatch the Word of God. And your weapon is the Word of God. And you know this, you've been taught this. And nowhere more is the attack greater than upon the children. So get in your place. That's what general quarters means. Get in your place. And in the Navy, where they use that, they have drilled and they have drilled and they have drilled. And so that's why they have to say this is not a drill. And they do things exactly according to the operations manual. And that's what I'm saying. This is it. So get in your place. If you're a parent, parent. If you're a teacher, teach. If you're a preacher, preach. You get in your place and work according to the ops manual, right? The Word of God. And it's good news, because you already have been told that it's a difficult time. You already know that. You don't need me to tell you that. But the good news is that there is a plan. There's delineation. And so I'm going through all of this, and this is not the kind of promise, preaching, shouting, hallelujah kind of sermon that you may be used to and I like. This is an unusual kind of message, because I'm going through all of this awful stuff about how the world is. I particularly want to do this with reference to the lies that your children are facing, because this is one of the enemy's methods, is to make a flood of lies. So good looks like evil and evil looks like good, and your children are facing this. Your students are facing this. You may be facing this. You need to know the difference. So, I feel like I need to go through this and unfold this scripture and tell you about what I know about the flood of lies and speak directly to it. Okay? That's what I feel called to do. And I hope that it is useful to you. I hope it's not taken as bad news, because it is good news when you hear the truth and you need to be able to distinguish the difference. Parents, man, this is time. You need to arm yourself with the Word of God, and you need to teach your children, because that's what parents are called to do. Okay, so let's go back into the scripture. We're working from Timothy, 2 Timothy, the third chapter. If you need to be caught up, you can go to our website, www.greatshalom.org, where recent broadcasts are archived. That's www.greatshalom.org. 2 Timothy, the third chapter. Today, people are irreconcilable. And we see an increasing lack of social skills. Now, we are now directly teaching conflict reduction skills, probably because we need to. Our world is more and more conflictual. More and a larger and larger portion of society feels that it is right and necessary to solve conflicts with violence. Yes, they do. That it's not manly, it's not self-respecting if you allow people to dish you. Of course, that's completely dysfunctional. And so, bless our heart, teachers, administrators, social workers are trainers trying to directly teach conflict reduction skills. But in the children, we're seeing a further unraveling of all social skills. And part of this is physiological, and part of it is social and educational. With my staff in the preschool, we decided to make a school-wide policy that we would teach manners to children, that they should say thank you and please and good morning. And I noticed after that, when I started noticing that their mothers were not always saying good morning back to me when they came into school. And so, no doubt, the mothers weren't teaching the children to say good morning, thank you, and please. Some of them, of course. But the percentage was very high since this was an affluent school. Educated parents. Irreconcilable. What will it mean for society when we have a minority, of course, but a group, a accountable group of people who are extremely smart and have no empathy? And we have a diagnosis that's growing where that is the case. And we have a much larger subsection of children who just don't have social skills. You know, it used to be always you would see a baby, as soon as they were able to pull up and they saw another kid crying, they were going to cry. That was the immediate, innate, insight, human-human alike feeling. If we don't have that, we as a society are unraveling. Irreconcilable. Malicious gossip. Of course, we are reconciled in Christ. There is now Jew or Greek, but we are one in Christ. The separation between the two groups has been divided, and we see one family all in the Messiah. Yeah, one family. Otherwise, we are not. You know, the fatherhood of God and the brotherhood of all humans does not obtain. But when we have all been baptized into one man, then, and I know that that sounds reprehensible. I know it sounds reprehensible to those outside, but it works. I invite you to come and see it works. I invite you to be reconciled to Christ, to God, a loving Father. I invite you to investigate and see that He is good all the time and wants total well-being for all children. If you want well-being for your children, teach this to them. Amen. Malicious gossip. Well, if you've been in a church or any ongoing group long enough, you know about malicious gossip, office politics, whatever. There is jealousy of the blessed. And there, if you go on the internet, you'll see there is some heresy hunting, charging malicious things of the very best teachers of the Word of God. I don't know how somebody who teaches expositorily from the Bible can be charged with some of the most heinous heresies. But they just make up stuff. I'm sorry. I know the history of these various groups, and you charge one group with coming from another when there's no connection, and it's done repeatedly. Why? Because these people don't know anything about what they're talking about. They pick up something from the internet and and keep repeating it as if it were true, and it becomes well-known, but is simply wrong. Malicious gossip, it's all based in jealousy. It's all based in a hate of the truth and self-love, and it ends up in bondage and foolishness. So what is the opposite to malicious gossip? Put the word of God in your mouth. Put blessing in your mouth. You know, it's not enough to put some scripture memorization. It's not enough to put the doctrine of your church in your mouth. Are you blessing others with it? Don't use the word of God to hit people over the head. That will never work. That's mixed. Okay. God is love. Self-control. We're lacking self-control in this world. Oh my, yes. In fact, in preschools, in the education of preschool teachers, they are told that they must never say no. Of course, this was going on in public school teaching, in teachers' colleges, 20 years ago. You must never say no. Does that make any sense to you? Is it a good idea to teach children that there are no boundaries? Well, what do you do? Well, I had one applicant who was a very good trickster. She could distract and trick children very well. And is it any wonder that young people who have had that kind of training become very cynical and themselves master tricksters? No, self-control. Not control of the environment, self-control. In fact, it's such a new idea that we should say no that there is a psychologist now who has a new book out. The title is No. He talks about the result of this lack of boundaries, lack of parenting is what it amounts to. You're not teaching your children if you're not teaching that there are boundaries. And the point of discipline is to inculcate self-discipline, and no one can be successful without it. What is the opposite of lack of self-control? It is self-control, right? And we control ourselves by the Spirit and by the Word, and we become successful. Actually, that's proven out in social, in sociology and history over and over and over again. As revival goes to poorer sections of society, because that's who welcomes it, and they involve themselves in learning the Word and in involving themselves in church organizations, they learn many things, including self-control, and go up on the socioeconomic ladder. Self-control. God's way is a good way. Men in these difficult times are brutal. And I think we don't have to go into very long to know that the violence in our society has gone up. Fortunately, actually, violent crime has gone down in the past 10 years, partly because of the shift of the age cohorts, partly because of increased enforcement. But the overall larger picture was it was going up and up and up, and the fashionableness of gangs in the 90s made violence very, very big. And as I say, there are many people in society who have been taught that violence is a must, and this needs to change. Unfortunately, women and elderly are no longer exempt as targets. And even sometimes violence is respected. People have to go out and do violent acts to get juice, to get some sort of esteem. This is inverted esteem world, because in the normal and sane world, those people who are meek, who don't need to get the credit, can get things done. And this is the kingdom of God, that God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. Verse 13, haters of good. Oh boy, do we have this in our society? Oh yes. The masters of society have good and bad reversed, and most of the new initiatives, although rooted in a sort of optimism about human character and the perfectibility of society, or sold with that kind of wrapping, really, in the end, find their settling down in society, a reverse teaching, so that bad becomes good and good becomes bad. For instance, we talked about there is no more horrific story than those stories of family devotions. Now, there probably has been a family or two where the children were made to kneel on bare floors for an hour while the dad read long scripture and prayers. Maybe, but probably those were a long time ago and probably very few, right? And that's not what I'm talking about when I'm talking about family devotions. We're talking about developmentally appropriate, of course. But even then, you know, in a family where you're clothed and fed and taught and encouraged, disciplined, even that story, I'm not so sure that it's all that bad. It's not nearly as bad as the families where you're not fed, you're not clothed, you know, you're beaten, you're drugged, you're brought into crime. And those families are much more numerous. So why this story is told as such a horror and used to make people afraid of Christian families, it needs to be questioned itself. Question the questioner. Government daycare is urged as more good than the family? How does this work, right? Or government control of health care over people's personal choice and responsibility? How is that supposed to be fair? How is that supposed to be for autonomous or freedom? I don't get it. And I think this whole sexploitation that's going on, I think the kids are catching on to that. I went to a play called Spring Awakening here in Austin a number of months ago, and the first half was what you might expect. The adults were shown as being overly strict, stereotypical stick figures, and the kids were exploring the wonders of sexuality until, of course, one gets pregnant. In the second half, you see all the sexploitation. One of the gals is being used as a model by a quote-unquote school of older men. The gal who got pregnant also ended up dying from a backroom abortion, and on and on and on. And the young people, the cast, were questioning these older hippies, as it were. The hippies were saying, hey, no, we wanted more of that first half. And the younger kids were saying, you brought us sexploitation. This is bondage. This is bondage where people exploit our sexuality for their money. And we need to talk about the flood of porn. Haters of good. You know, the camp that works so hard for free speech, and hallelujah, I'm all for the Bill of Rights, but they have used porn rather than dissident speech in the charge for free speech. And I wonder why that is. I wonder if that's functional. We need freedom of speech for dissonance, for political and religious discussions, so that we can have more intelligent discussions. But I'm not sure we need to lead and press the envelope about porn, particularly from where we are. Haters of good. Why is it that the history of the Christian religion in America is covered up in our textbooks? Why is it that dirtiness is so rampant that young people doubt, argue? It could not be any families where there are monogamous marriages, where porn is not, you know, and a woman in beautiful, dignified clothing is an anomaly. Why is that? And why is fairness forgotten? If we're going to be all so big on diversity, why is evangelical Christianity not accepted? That's the only religion that interfaith doesn't want to talk about. Haters of good. No, what is the opposite? Love the good. Love God. Love God. And what you sow, you reap. If you act right, if you act good, then you reap good in your life. You have a good life. And you need to teach this to your children. There is a difference between right and wrong. And in today's world, that assertion is deeply questioned. And you need to talk about this in a very intelligent and academic way with your college students. And you need to talk about it with your preschoolers so that their lives, their personalities are formed around it. If you don't, then you have given up the battle, because this is Satan's battle plan. That's what we're talking about. You have to know the battle plan. And the battle plan is a flood of lies. Why? He knows his time is short. And he's flooding all of our teaching, particularly in this country. He seems to have gained a foothold. Battle stations, operations manual. Teach your children the word of God. Verse 4, treacherous. Are we loyal today? Or does loyalty seem like bondage? It seems like bondage when non-believers come in and to a workplace, for instance, and see a poster on the wall of loyalty. They question that shop. In fact, I know people who have walked out, who came in looking for jobs and said, oh, loyalty is a poster on the wall, therefore this boss is going to require me to do unethical things and charge me as unloyal. And they have turned on their heels and left and didn't apply for the job, right? And their judgment may or may not have been true about that particular shop, but you need to understand that loyalty is considered a negative word. So it's no wonder that people are treacherous. People don't keep contract. People lie. You know, there have been many cases where young men have promised young women that they are going to marry them and have even gone with their families to shop for baby furniture. And then when the baby comes, the guy is gone. And some social scientists did some research in some of these neighborhoods. And the young men said, well, the girls knew we were lying. How is that? The girls knew we were lying. They should have. Treacherous. Reckless. Are we thinking of other people's good or just our own ends? Conceited. Very much like arrogant. Lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. I think we all know that our society has reveled in lovers of pleasure. Indulging the flesh is short-term pleasure. God has real pleasures. And if we love God, wow, I wish I could. Their faces are radiant. Worship is so much more pleasurable than anything else I can possibly imagine. And if you don't know that, you need to go do some worship. Press in at worship. And hallelujah, God has provided all things richly for us to enjoy, right? But too much food is not fun. Too much any other good thing is not fun, but the flesh being irreconcilable, unself-controlled, reckless, it takes all of these things and misuses them. Lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Our very discussion, our conversation in our society has become warped and is going the wrong way because of a flood of lies. It's time to raise a standard. Now, how do we do that? Well, there are some people who are called particular campaigns, but that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about you get in your place. You do your assignment as a parent by teaching the Word of God. It's all about the Word of God. The attack is on the Word of God. And the weapon that we have is the Word of God. And if we back up and become quiet, we lose. It's the Christians are being quiet, being asleep, pulling back. And I'm saying battle stations, not in terms of going out and creating strife somewhere, but in terms of doing your assignment, and particularly with reference to being parents. insist on the word of God in your house, in your family, and this will change society. And of course, do your duty as a citizen, as a worker, and your vocation. That's all your battle station too. But I'm talking mostly about being parents. And it's all about the word of God. Use the word of God. Learn the word of God. Illustrate the word of God. And just as it has been said before, victory is assured. If you want to know how this all wraps up, so you can be on the winning side, take a look in Revelation 19, and you will find that the winner, his name, is the Word of God. Hallelujah. So pray with me if you would. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for instruction. Thank you that you have sent your word and you have healed us, spirit, soul, and body. Lord, we resolve to continue in your word. We will learn it. We will speak it. We will do it. And we will bless our children with it. Hallelujah. We thank you. We thank you for it. And now may both you and your children increase. And you can count on it, because it is the blessing in the word of God.